We talked yesterday on the show about GPS, the technology behind the mapping software on our phones, a technology that has become so widespread it's now involved in everything from the electric grid to how we grow crops. In fact, according to author Greg Milner, the U.S. has 16 critical infrastructure sectors, including energy, dams, and agriculture, and all but three of them use GPS for essential functions. Milner's new book is called Pinpoint: How GPS is Changing Technology, Culture, and Our Minds. And let's continue our conversation. Greg Milner, if someone were to do something to our GPS, maybe jam it on a large scale, wouldn't that be one of the biggest disasters you could imagine in the U.S.?
Well, the big fear actually is not so much jamming. It's something called spoofing. I mean, jamming is a big enough problem. But, you know, if a GPS signal is jammed, it's immediately apparent that it's jammed, right? You're not getting a GPS signal. Spoofing involves introducing a phantom signal that tricks GPS receivers into thinking it's the GPS signal. It overwhelms the real one, and they start following that. And a spoofing attack could really mess things up because it can, you know, it can make a GPS receiver think that it's getting the correct information when it's not. So, for example, you know, people have shown that you can, by spoofing a signal, you could crash a drone, for example. You can mess up clocks that run off GPS, and so you could disrupt communications networks. And actually, one of the biggest fears involves financial networks because, you know, the millions of trades that go on every day are all time-stamped, most of them by GPS. Mm. So there's a fear that if there was a local spoofing attack, let's say that affected just a few trading programs, they would take themselves out of the market because they're automated, and that would cause a chain reaction. So there's a lot of fear. I mean, the Department of Homeland Security, they won't talk about it in great detail, but they are looking very, very carefully at the vulnerabilities of GPS because GPS has just been adopted so quickly, so in such a widespread way that there hasn't been a whole lot of time to really figure out, you know, how secure it really is.
Is spoofing difficult?
That depends on who you ask. I mean, the act of spoofing, it's pretty clear, is not that difficult. Now, whether it's difficult to do it in a way that could actually trick enough GPS receivers in the vicinity, it's still somewhat of an unknown quantity. We just haven't had a large-scale spoofing attack, at least that we know of. So, but the act of spoofing, it's been pretty clear that just in and of itself is not that difficult to do.
Could all our GPS go down at once, and is there a backup?
It's unlikely that it could go down all at once. The biggest fear is not so much the whole system going down. I mean, the satellites themselves, the constellation is pretty robust. What's a bigger problem would be these local outages that could then have wide-scale reactions so that, you know, for example, if some of the clocks on the electrical grid that take their time from GPS were messed up, that would cause the whole grid to get a wrong snapshot of what's going on, and then it could cause power surges, blackouts, and things like that. So the fear is not so much a huge widespread, like the whole entire world going down. That's probably not going to happen. It's more the fear of what if a lot of little things could, you know, a lot of little outages could happen.
And I should say at this point, by the way, that we are not the only country that has a GPS system like this. There are a few others around the world.
Well, yes, but one thing that's important to remember is that there are a few others, but none of them approach what GPS does. I mean, something I've discovered a lot of people don't know is that GPS is used by every country in the world. I mean, it's free to everyone, and it's got global coverage. So although there are certain other, you know, competing systems, the only other one that has a full satellite constellation and complete global coverage is GLONASS, which is Russia's version of GPS.
Right.
And that's nowhere near as dependable as GPS. And the EU has Galileo, which it'll be several years before that's totally complete. China's got one. But GPS is really the bulwark. I mean, GPS is the system in a way.
Well, looking back now, was it a mistake for the United States to allow this to be used for free by everyone? Would it be a better thing to have as a secure military system?
I don't think so, because first of all, it's just become so much of an integral and useful part of so many systems in the world that I think it'd be a net negative, frankly, if we all didn't have access to GPS. But I think it also, you get into the question of like, well, if the U.S. hadn't done it, would other people have done it? The military, I believe the Department of Defense spends about $1 billion a year just keeping the satellite constellation running and the network of monitoring stations around the world that kind of keep track of the satellites. And I think the reason that they've continued to do it is because they figure, well, if someone's going to do it, it may as well be us.
Is there a plan to launch more satellites to make GPS go to the next level?
They're always improving the satellites, and they're always improving the signal. I don't think that they're going to, at least not that I know of, actually make more of the satellites. I mean, one of the most amazing things about GPS is that it really hasn't changed much since the early 70s when the planning was started on it. You know, the technology has remained pretty standard because there was so much forethought put into it that they're really, you know, that they can refine it. But the technology itself is somewhat perfect.
So what's next for GPS when it comes to consumers and how we use it? We're using it in so many more ways now than we were just a few years ago. I'm just thinking of Uber just all by itself. The idea that we can summon a car immediately to our location using our phone. But what's the next thing?
Well, I mean, I'd be lying if I say I knew for sure. But I think what's going to happen is that as our access to GPS becomes more and more exact, you know, in other words, as it becomes much easier for us to get really, 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 you know, precise positioning and location, you're going to see the number of applications explode. I mean, this is may sound somewhat banal, but for example, it's very powerful for companies if they can know exactly where you are and they can serve you up an ad that corresponds to exactly where you're standing. Not where you're standing plus or minus, you know, several meters, but really exactly where you're standing. Something else that actually goes back to what you asked before, I don't think I answered fully in terms of what's coming next is, ironically, one thing that may come next is something that's even older than GPS itself. One thing that's been looked at a lot, you know, as a way to mitigate the problem, the vulnerabilities of GPS, is a technology called LORAN. The most recent version of it is called eLORAN, and that actually predates GPS. It's a land-based positioning system, and because it's land-based, it can't have global one system can't have global coverage. But the signal that our LORAN transmitter gives off is something like 1,000 times more powerful than GPS, so it's much more difficult to jam it or spoof it. So you've seen governments now are quietly starting to kind of get their LORAN systems back up as a way to hopefully have some sort of backup to GPS in place.
Does it make any difference to the system if there is one person who's using GPS on their phone or a billion people using GPS? Do you have to have more capacity in some way?
No, and that's another amazing thing about it that speaks to the foresight of the people who planned it. GPS is what's called a passive navigation system, meaning you, the GPS user, do not have to transmit anything. All you have to do is receive the signal, and this was very very seductive to the military because
so it's like an FM radio signal, basically.
Exactly, like the number of radios could double tomorrow, and no, you know, and it's not like it would be harder for them to pick up the FM signal. You know, basically all a GPS receiver is something that's picking up a radio signal, so you could have double, triple, quadruple the number of those tomorrow, and it wouldn't make a difference.
So we've talked about a lot here, Greg Milner. What did we not talk about that fascinated you as you did the research for this book?
One thing that fascinated me is that planning for GPS in a way, you know, really went back to Sputnik in a way, and the aftermath of Sputnik, really what got people thinking about what you could do with a satellite signal in terms of positioning. But it also, what fascinated me is that the concept of GPS, which is really time-based, right? I mean, it's the fact that you can know where you are by knowing how fast something travels really kind of goes back to the chronometer. In a way, GPS is kind of like the modern second coming of the chronometer. And the chronometer, which was basically a super precise clock that would stay accurate at sea and therefore let people at sea be able to compute longitude easily, really changed things. I mean, it changed European shipping in enormous ways. And really what GPS is just sort of an extension of that idea of using time, using when something is to figure out where something is. You know, what people should remember is that all of us are using exactly the same GPS signal. The military has its own, but it's still the same basic concept. And what people can do with this civilian GPS signal is incredible. I mean, the same signal that is guiding our car down the freeways is helping geophysicists, you know, measure this tiny, minute plate tectonics, measurements of plates. Just with GPS, that's how potentially powerful GPS can be. GPS is it's already happening, but it's going to be a way for when huge earthquakes happen to get at least a little bit of a jump on them in a way that can allow people to get a little tiny bit more of an advance warning, but enough that can make a huge difference. It's the fact that the same signal is so immensely powerful. I mean, just the fact that it can measure the plates moving a millimeter at a time, and it can also tell you where you are while you drive. It's kind of incredible.
Are we going to forget how to navigate, though, because of GPS?
Well, it's certainly a concern. I don't know if we'll forget how to navigate, but I think we're getting a lot worse at it. I mean, were people better at math before the calculator? Probably. I mean, were they better at math before the abacus? I don't know. But, you know, it's not like we've forgotten how to do long division, but I bet that we're not nearly as good at it.
That's Greg Milner, author of the book Pinpoint, How GPS is Changing Technology, Culture, and Our Minds. Fascinating book. Greg, thank you.
Thank you.